welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday, June the 2nd, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. And of course, the Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live weekdays from noon to one. We are delighted to be here. We have a great lineup for today's show. We're going to start off with a newsmaker interview with Tucson's Mayor Bob Walkup. Then we will be joined by Mark Kimball, spokesman for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. He'll be giving us an update on Gabby Giffords' condition. At the bottom of the hour, we talk transportation with Gary Hayes. Mr. Hayes is the executive director of the Regional Transportation Authority and his other hat as the head of the Pima Association of Governments. Then we'll close out the show. The Buckmaster Show legal advisor will be with us, Don Luce. He's going to try to clear up some of the confusion surrounding Arizona's new medical marijuana law. Of course, the Buckmaster Show is primarily interview-driven, but there's always room for your calls from wherever you are in Arizona. Our number, 790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show comment live line. And we're joined now by Mayor Bob Walkup. Mayor Walkup, good to see you.
Great to be here.
We have a full agenda for you today.
Oh, good. Well, first of all, what a nice place this is, Bill. I don't think that I've – this is my first time that I've been here in this new station. And what a wonderful thing it is that you've got now more broadcast power.
I mean, as they say in the business, we have a lot of reach with this station. And it is a very powerful station. And so we're really being heard from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. And I know you do talk with lots of mayors around the state. What are they telling you about the economic situation?
Well, everybody is still kind of skeptical and a bit concerned about the future. All of us see parts of it coming back. Retail sales we see coming back across the state. There's a lot of commercial development work going on. I think we're the only the city and state that really has a very active downtown development that is really, really going on strongly. We're still worried about the housing market. It is not coming back. The housing numbers were not very good. Price still continues to fall, and so it hasn't bottomed out. So everybody kind of sees it the same way, cautiously optimistic.
How about the sales tax collections for the city? Are they starting to look a little better than the very dismal year of 2010?
Absolutely, and it's the kind of thing that you every month you said, "Oh, come on, come on, come on," you know, and it is beginning to come back. And our budget is being set on the basis that it's going to be a better year next year than it is this year. Again, very hopeful. We're seeing it in the malls. We're seeing it with the shopping that is going on. People are back buying.
The Mexican shoppers are starting to come back.
Bill, I tell you, they have been back all along. But it's something we have to protect. And many people may don't know this, but the Mexican shopper, those that have the legal right to be here, have for years been a major part of our sales at the Tucson Mall.
Yeah, it's a huge chunk, actually.
36-38% of our retail sales at the mall.
And you went down to Mexico. You were meeting in Hermosillo, I believe, with the governor of Sonora, who we hope to have on this show within the coming weeks.
Well, I'll tell you, I met him at Puerto Penasco. And our subject was, what can we do? What can I, as the mayor, border city, and the governor of Sonora, what can we do to be sure people understand the importance of travel across the border? We need a secure border, but boy, we can't stop. And none of us want to stop the flow of U.S. travelers going down into Mexico and Mexican people coming into Arizona. And that's what I talked to the governor about. How can we work together to be sure people know that it's safe if you follow some basic rules, but it is safe?
A lot of people do worry, though, now about traveling to Mexico.
A lot of people worry about traveling in foreign countries, I think, is the issue. And I think in traveling in Mexico, you follow the rules, you'll be safe. And I think everybody understands that. But there's this hesitation because they're not quite sure. And I tell you, I am here to say that my wife and I travel into Mexico quite a bit, and we have never had not one moment of concern.
It's 10 minutes now past 12 on the Buckmaster Show. Tucson's Mayor Bob Walkup is with us. Mayor Walkup will be concluding 12 years as head of the city of Tucson. And, of course, yesterday Mayor Walkup was the deadline for at least turning in the petitions. Whether or not then they will be validated, that's another question. But 7 individuals turned in petitions. 1 or 2 might be thrown out, so we might have 5 or 6 candidates. I would think on the surface that it would seem there would be more than a handful of candidates when you have an open seat for the mayor of the city of Tucson. Are you a little surprised so few people stepped up?
A little bit. First of all, it is a tough, consuming job. So you have to dedicate your life to being the mayor, even though it's a part-time job.
It's a 24/7 job, though, as you know. And when there is some kind of a disaster, the first person that many turn to is the mayor of the city.
It is across the country. Every disaster that has happened to this country over the last 12 years that I've been around, the first person they talk to is, Mr. Mayor, how do you see the situation? How do you see what's
9/11,
going on?
People were wondering, you know, are we safe? Is the city in danger?
Absolutely. And it's a daunting responsibility. 9/11, Katrina was an issue.
The Giffords assassination attempt?
The Giffords was a major issue. And it was for me personally, because I knew her so well. And I knew that there was we needed to separate the event from the great city of Tucson, and I think that we did that. We said Tucson has been a great city; it is today, and it will always be. And we pray for Gabby, and we pray for the victims of a senseless crime, if you will. And so it is the mayor that stands up there and says, "Here's what's going on. Here's what we're doing," and is the leader of the maintenance and the creation and the sustainability of a great community.
You know, I think all of us living here, especially those of us in the media, were very worried about how this Giffords assassination attempt, Tucson was suddenly on the front page of papers all over the world. And I think the way the community reacted actually is a feather in the cap for Tucson. And I think people are saying, hey, that's a community that really has its act together.
The press, the satellite trucks, as you know, showed up within moments of the event. And the flow of the questions were, well, of course this happened in Tucson. We've read about 1070. We've read about guns. We've read about all of these things.
The Wild West.
The Wild West. And so it was my job, but it was more the job of the people that just showed up, Bill. And I can tell you, the press, the international press, was impressed with the outpouring of feelings for everybody that was involved. And they got from everyone that this is not and should not be a reflection on this great city. As the international press left, they turned to me and said, Mr. Mayor, I'm coming back here and I'm bringing my family. This is a great city.
That's a great testimonial if they're willing to come back, right? We've known each other many years, and when I would interview you every month, certainly on TV, and now have you on certainly the remainder of your term every month, I've always asked you about downtown Tucson and bringing downtown Tucson back. As you know, the question is, when are we going to see something happening? And I think we are finally seeing things happening.
I think that's a fair statement. We are finally. It's been a long haul moving through all the infrastructure development, the remediation that had to go on the west side, acquisitions that we had to make. We set the stage for what is now happening. And I tell you, Bill, it's going to the next 3 to 5 years is going to be a continual development in the downtown area. People moving down there, living downtown, new restaurants, new businesses in the downtown area. Maybe even, Bill, the creation of a science city, a city that really is caring about the 21st century and developing those kinds of businesses and industries for the new 21st century.
The Downtown Tucson Partnership, I know they had a meeting yesterday, and there is some talk again, believe it or not, about a new downtown hotel.
And there should be.
That came up.
There should be, absolutely. Rio Nuevo never lost sight of what the Prop 400 said. And Prop 400 said, look, we need to have a balanced development. But we need a upgraded TCC, Tucson Convention Center. We need more parking, and we need convention hotel. And it's still on the books. And I'm very hopeful that yet this year, Bill, we should be able to put that back together with the new Rio Nuevo board and get going on. Very, very important for our future.
Do you like the selection of Donovan Durbin as the new first ever, I believe, executive director of the Rio Nuevo Board? That has not been finalized. We were talking with Councilman Kasachek yesterday, and of course Donovan Durbin works for Councilman Kasachek, and he gave us the indication that it hasn't been finalized. But whether or not it's finalized, where do you weigh in on this?
Absolutely. Donovan's a great guy. He worked downtown for many years, so he understands everybody that's down there. He understands the objective, the strategic objective of downtown, which is make it a better place for people, business friendly, and let's grow jobs. So Donovan gets that, and I think that's exactly what the board wanted to see, is that they wanted somebody that could help them through the maze of of regulations, but let's stay focused on a great downtown and let's stay focused on jobs.
It's 16 minutes past 12 on the Buckmaster Show. We're speaking with Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup. The time has gone very quickly. Only have about 2 minutes left. We haven't talked much about the budget, but the budget looks like it will be finalized later this month. We'll be talking with Gary Hayes, head of the RTA, about transportation. Your quick thoughts about the little controversy over SunTran and whether or not they should have gotten the money that they feel they deserve.
Well, first of all, transportation is extraordinarily important for a business-friendly community. If you can't get your workers to your place of where they're working, you don't have a very friendly community. By the way, I support a regional approach to transportation. I think that only when you do it and consider it on a regional basis does it really make any sense. It doesn't make any sense for Tucson to be concerned about transportation within the boundaries of the city. So I think that's the right thing, especially since the modern streetcar is going to be part of this whole thing. It's a growing system. Major cities have figured that out. It is a regional issue, and I support that. But, boy, I tell you, it is a key issue for creating jobs and creating a healthy business environment in Tucson.
Quickly, you went back to Washington. Future issues that this city is going to have to deal with. And they are telling me to wrap it up, but I know you can do this in about 30 seconds.
Future issues? I tell you, one of them is protecting Davis-Monthan and the mission. That's what I talked to the McCain about.
Is there a danger there?
There's. I think with
always.
Always a danger with the federal budget. Absolutely.
Well, you did it in less than 30 seconds. Mayor Walkup, good to see you, and we will definitely have you back here on the Buckmaster Show during the noon hour in July, and we'll talk more after the budget is finally finalized and see how things are looking midsummer for us in Tucson. Thanks for being with us.
It's a great pleasure.
Mayor Bob Walkup on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up, Mark Kimball, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords' aide, will be talking with us, an update on Gabby's condition.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Firo Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at FiroAmorePizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Twenty-two minutes now past noon on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our partner stations in Douglas and Globe. With us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Mark Kimball. Mark Kimball, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords' aide, is with us now. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bill.
Hey, Mark, give us an update on how the Congresswoman is doing. There was a lot of publicity, of course, with her husband, Captain Mark Kelly, commanding the last mission of the Space Shuttle Endeavor. She, of course, went and saw the launch. How are her spirits right now, Mark?
Well, her spirits are very good, Bill. She'll be reunited with her husband today. I'm not sure if she already has been or not in Houston. She's very excited to see him back. She was extremely enthused when he was launched into space about 2 weeks ago now, and she's been looking forward to him getting back safely, and he will be returning to Houston today and be back with her.
And she is now back in Houston at the Herman Rehabilitation Hospital there. How are those treatments going?
Well, they're going very well. The Congresswoman is working very hard in rehab. That's her job now. And she is making steady progress. And I'm sure that when Mark sees her after being away from her for for a couple of weeks that he'll see some real progress in her condition.
It has been coming up now on 5 months since the assassination attempt, and of course you were there on that that horrible Saturday. And I, Mark, I've known you many years. You were kind enough to join me on our Friday roundtable on TV. I mean, we've known each other a long time, and this is the first time I've had a chance recently to ask you how you are doing.
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Bill. It's certainly an experience that has changed my life forever, I'm sure. And it's something that that all of us who were there will never forget and be forever affected by. But we have to move on, and I think we're all doing the best we can to move past that that horrible day. It's hard to believe that it's been nearly 5 months.
There's been a lot of work. Of course, the work goes on in the Congresswoman's office. You all moved to some new headquarters. Give us that location and tell us a bit about the workload.
Well, Bill, we're now at 3945 East Fort Lowell, Suite 211. That's at the northeast corner of Fort Lowell and Alvernon. We don't have a permanent sign up yet, but there is a temporary sign, so people shouldn't have any trouble finding us. It's on the second floor. There's an elevator right nearby. It's very nice. It's a very nice office, and there is more room for people to come in and meet with the constituent services representatives who have been exceptionally busy since January 8th, carrying on the Congresswoman's work.
Were you at this forum covering the ins and outs of Social Security this morning?
No, I wasn't. That was something that the people in our office set up to answer all kinds of questions about Social Security, and it's just winding up about now. I know that we had quite a few people who RSVP'd and, to attend it.
Mark, let's get back to the Congresswoman's condition. Is there any kind of a timetable that's been set up about when she may return to Tucson, perhaps a rehab facility here in town?
No, we just don't know what the future holds on that. When we know something, we'll do our best to let people know. But at this point, she's just taking it a day at a time.
How do you personally react when you see these letters to the editor that are starting to pop up? Folks who are saying, are they basically complaining that we do not have folks that live in the district do not have representation at this moment on the floor of the Congress? How do you react to that?
Well, people are certainly entitled to their opinions, and I have read the letters. We certainly wish that Congresswoman Giffords was voting in the on the floor of the House, but that's not up to us right now. Nonetheless, the work of the Congresswoman's office continues. As I mentioned, here in Tucson, we are seeing a lot more people coming in asking for help in dealing with the various federal agencies, and we're able to help those people. In Washington, many of the Congresswoman's initiatives are being carried forward by her colleagues in Congress. Just yesterday, for an example, there was an amendment introduced to a Homeland Security funding bill that sets aside money to improve communications in rural areas near the border. And that was a big issue of the Congresswoman's. And this amendment was introduced by two members of Congress, one from Texas, another from Pennsylvania, who were among a number of members who came out here to Southern Arizona at Congresswoman Giffords' office request to look at the border and see for themselves what the situation is. And after seeing it, they went forward and introduced this amendment that the Congresswoman herself had been talking about to set aside some money to make communications better along the border. That is a big concern to ranchers who live in very isolated areas of southern Arizona.
Mark Kimball, good talking with you. Take care of yourself, and thanks for being on the Buckmaster Show today.
Bill, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks a lot. That was Mark Kimball from Congresswoman Gabrielle Gifford's office. Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Remember, tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, Dr. Mark Stegeman, who is the head of the TUSD Governing Board. That's coming up on Friday Focus, along with our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Stay with us. Gary Hayes of the RTA is going to be with me live in studio next.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Mitt Romney is telling Barack Obama, you had your chance. As he launches his bid for the Republican presidential nomination, Romney accuses Mr. Obama of having failed America. The White House is shrugging off House Speaker Boehner's suggestion that he and President Obama negotiate directly over deficit reduction. The girl who was kidnapped, abused, and held captive for 18 years by Philip Garrido has delivered some parting words to Garrido as he's sent away to prison for the rest of his life. In a statement read by her mother, J.C. Dugard said she chose not to be in court today because she did not want to waste another second of her life in Garrido's presence. Taking a look at Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow down 24 points, the NASDAQ is up 9. More details at srnnews.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service, with 30 projects under construction, including Tanqueverty Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tanqueverty, at the southwest corner of Tanqueverty and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanqueverty, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
So it was a coup. 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Gary Hayes joins us now. Mr. Hayes is the executive director of the RTA, and that is the Regional Transportation Authority here in Southern Arizona. Gary also has another hat. He's a very busy man. He's the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments. And one of the things, Gary Hayes, first of all, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show. We're
thank
delighted.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
And one of the things you deal with is air quality. And I know it's partly a county issue, but the air quality the last couple of days has really been bad.
It has been bad, and I think that has a lot to do with wind flow and those kinds of things. One of the things we're concerned about is, and I think I've shared with you before, is ozone standards and how that's going to play on our region and our community. So we're watching that very closely, what the federal EPA is doing with the ozone standards. But you're right. We've had a lot of dust-ups and a lot of problems with the air quality.
One of the nice things about being here on KVOI and our simulcast partners, we have a tremendous reach. We go up all the way onto the Phoenix area. And I know they have some serious air quality problems, especially in the southern part of Maricopa County.
Yeah, they're actually, Maricopa County is in what's called violation of air quality standards. So they have some serious restrictions on gas pricing because they have to oxygenate fuels and do other kinds of things. We're not there yet. We're concerned about where we might be if those new standards are in place.
When do they think those standards will be issued?
They've made attempts to do it in the past. They've withdrawn them. Now we're looking at the fall of 2011. That may or may not be the drop-dead date.
Shortly before my wife and I left town, we were lucky enough to get away for a week down in the Turks and Caicos. We went to the celebration for the RTA. The Regional Transportation Authority had its kind of five-year anniversary. I guess it was to the day pretty much
it
of
was.
when voters didn't just say yes by like a 51% margin.
Right.
They said yes. They really wanted some transportation
They certainly did. Actually, there were two elements of the vote. One was the actual plan, which lists all the projects. The other was the half-cent sales tax to pay for it. Roughly 60-40 split. I think there was a lot of pent-up demand in the community to get something done, and we've tried to honor that the best we can during the 5 years, moving projects all over the region.
It's not like there weren't attempts before Gary Hayes to get something going with transportation. Do you think, as you reflect on this, that folks just said, we're at the point now where we've got to do something?
Yeah, that played into it. I think also the fact that we did it on a regional basis with a whole new organization that was involved with it. It wasn't strictly a city or a county initiative. And then you talked about previous initiatives. There were four unsuccessful ones over 20 years, and they were losing like 60-40. So we had to recover from that.
We're speaking with Gary Hayes, Mr. Hayes, heading up the RTA. We just were interviewing Tucson's Mayor Bob Walkup. He says, really, one of the critical components is really a regional transportation system. And the SunTran has come in. There's been some issues about SunTran. When you look at SunTran, Gary, what is the situation as far as how it envelopes into what you're planning?
Well, the idea of a regional transit plan, and SunTran is certainly a key part of that, is part of the mandate that we received from the legislature and the governor when the RTA was formed. We've made a whole series of investments on Sun Express, Sun Shuttle, Park and Ride, which really creates a functioning regional system. SunTran and SunVan, their paratransit system, are still managed and operated by the city of Tucson. And we have a good relationship in what SunTran does. Real happy with the management of SunTran.
790-2040, if you have any transportation questions, Gary Hayes is the guy to answer those questions. Let's talk about the next situation, the next level that RTA, the next five-year program, and one of those is the Kolb Road extension.
Right. The next 5 years is primarily a strong emphasis on construction. The first 5 years, at least the first two or three, we had to spend a good deal of time and resources on planning and design. But you're going to see construction all over the region on Houghton, on Tangerine, on Valencia, on 22nd, and so forth, all over the place. The Kolb Road Extension Project was number 11 of the first 11 that we committed to the voters that we would have under construction by mid-2011. 10 are already either completed or under construction. Cold Road is scheduled to begin this summer. Obviously, there's a lot of neighborhood agitation about that, but we are committed to getting it under construction.
What's the problem with what's the point of view from the neighbors? What are they saying? It's just too disruptive or what?
I think that's part of it. I think some of the neighbors that live in that area like their access to Udall Park. They think that a Cold Road extension is going to negatively impact the kind of community that they've been able to work with. Although I will tell you, voters throughout the region supported the plan and the project, including all the Ward 2 voters. So it has local support. The opposition is coming from some people that feel that they're going to be directly negatively affected.
It's 39 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show, past noon, and Chuck is on the Buckmaster Show live line, and he would like to ask about the RTA bond situation, Gary Hayes. Go ahead, Chuck.
Mr. Hayes.
Go ahead.
When the community voted on the RTA project and gives you the money to do the project with, I don't recall on that ballot or any of the information that was passed or, you know, brought out about it, that there was any indication that the RTA would need more than that money in the form of bonds. Can you please enlighten me on that?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, the authority of the Regional Transportation Authority to do bonding, that's been called into question. The actual enabling legislation that was passed by the legislature and by the governor included a bonding component in that. In the original estimates that we had prepared and presented to the voters, we estimated a revenue base of $2.1 billion over the 20 years. The $0.1, or the $100 million, was dedicated to debt service. And we've just begun that process. Matter of fact, we anticipate the closing of those bonds to occur on the 13th or 14th of June. So the whole question about the RTA and the plan itself, really two slightly different things. The RTA has enabling authority to do a whole host of things that the plan doesn't specifically call for. The plan is to define those projects that are supported by the half-cent sales tax, and that's what we do. But we have ultimate responsibilities beyond the plan.
Chuck, thanks for the call. Now, what about this front page article? Rob O'Dell had a front page piece in the Sunday Arizona Daily Star, May 29th. The headline was RTA Chief, that's you, Gary Hayes, has family tie to two contracts that I believe totaled, according to Rob O'Dell, $89,000 were for value engineering. What's the deal here with the family ties?
Well, here's the deal. We're undertaking a process that's called value analysis. We're looking at every major roadway project that's over $25 million and looking at ways that we can really emphasize and strategize the taxpayers' investment. We began a process of talking to a number of consultants locally about who would be best equipped to undertake that activity for us. The Horrocks firm out of Salt Lake City was the one that was recommended to us. The leadership of Horrocks came into town, did not include anybody I knew at the time. We talked about how we would do this, what we would do. By the time we got to a contract phase, one of the principals in Horrocks is actually my daughter-in-law's brother, whom I had met three or four times over the last 10 years since they've been married. I'm not going to penalize a firm just because they have someone that can generate significant savings. Now, if you look at that article itself as opposed to the headline, what it really says is that Mr. Hayes operated within his authority, within his legal ability to save the taxpayers between $20 and $40 million. And I think I'm quoted in the article that said I'd hire my grandmother if she could save $20 to $40 million of taxpayers' money, and I stand by that.
Okay. The streetcar project, there will be some disruption, to say the least. Britton Dornquist, who runs the program to help businesses along the way, says we're looking at quite a bit of disruption.
No question about that, but it'll be short-lived. We expect the streetcar to be up and running by the end of 2013. So you're looking at about a two-year window. You know, as everybody knows, there's a lot of activity in downtown anticipation of the streetcar. And the interviews that have been conducted with those businesses that have invested are fully aware of that, yet they realize over the long haul it's going to have a major positive impact on downtown.
Quick comment about Imagine Greater Tucson. If somebody wants to go to find out more, they can go to the Pima Association of Governments website. There's been, I believe, the fourth scoping session? Is that what you call
it? Yeah, that's a program that's going to continue through the balance of this year and into 2012, and it's really trying to embrace the major positive features our community has and how we can advance the community going ahead in a visioning process. A lot of tremendous turnout at these events. The community has really embraced it, and fortunately, PAG is in a position to help fund it.
Okay, Gary Hayes, thank you so much. We'll look forward to having you often on the Buckmaster Show, and thanks. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks. Congratulations for you to starting it, too.
Thank you. This is day two of the Buckmaster Show. What's going on with this marijuana, medical marijuana law? That's next with Attorney Don Luce.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub. For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and 5th Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Thank you.
And we are back on the Buckmaster Show, 12:49 now, and we are joined by attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Associates in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Bill. It's great to be back.
Well, we are delighted to have you, and I think our timing with your visit today really is good because it's all over the front page. It's all over the news. There is so much confusion, Don Luce, about Arizona's new medical marijuana law. Just generally, to begin this conversation, where is the confusion coming from?
The confusion, I think, arises from the fact that our state law seems to be at odds with the federal law in many respects. And earlier it's now June, but in early May, the federal government sent our state a letter saying, under certain circumstances, you are at risk of being prosecuted under federal law because our federal law still supersedes your state law. Now, for your listeners, they'll recall that in November, the voters of Arizona passed Proposition 203, which was a proposition to legalize marijuana for those in medical need. And that proposition was similar to many other laws in other states, such as Colorado and California, and some of the states that have medical marijuana laws. Our Department of Health Services Director, Will Humble, interpreted the proposition fairly strictly, and his objective was to make sure that the new law wasn't used for recreational use. And he enacted a set of regulations pursuant to which medical marijuana users were able to get authorization cards. And all seemed to be going well, except for the federal government's letter to our state saying, beware. Governor Jan Brewer and our attorney general decided to file suit in federal court to try to get some clarification on some of the issues that were raised in the federal letter. And this suit, which was just filed, had the effect of putting on hold all activity to issue dispensary authorizations, which is the second half of the equation. It's one thing to have a medical marijuana card authorizing you to use it. It's another thing to be able to obtain it.
We're speaking with Don Luce, attorney to the Buckmaster Show, and Robert is on the Buckmaster Show live line, and he also is confused, Don Luce, as he's saying the marijuana laws, are they in conflict with federal laws? Go ahead, Robert, your question for attorney Don Luce.
Yeah, Mr. Lewis, one quick comment. I was apathetic, but I was in favor of the law, but if I knew that green leaf would keep turning up in every publication and could likely be on sandwich boards across the community, I would not have voted for this. My question is, how did a law that the citizens were supposed to vote on that is in conflict with federal laws, how did it get in the ballot to begin with? Wouldn't that have been the time to do diligence on whether there was a conflict with the law we were about to vote on?
Really good question. He's basically saying, why was this thing not vetted a little more carefully? Thank you, Robert, for the call. Here's Don Luce.
Yeah, that's a great question, Robert. The answer, simply stated, is that a lot of things get on the ballot that may or may not be legal, and it's not until after they're enacted or passed by the voters that that test is actually made. So in this case, Prop 203 was passed, and if you recall, Robert, it was passed by a very, very narrow margin, less than 1%, but it was passed nonetheless. And during the past 6 months or so, our state has been in the process of putting together rules and regulations to carry out the effect of 203. But at the heart of it, it's contrary to federal law. Everyone has always known that, and now the state has decided to seek a court ruling to determine if, in fact, it ought to proceed forward with implementation of the proposition.
Yeah, so this is the Governor Brewer saying that she fears people could wind up in legal trouble. She's ordered the state attorney general, Tom Horn, to get a federal court ruling on whether Arizona can actually even go forward now with implementing the medical marijuana law. So that leaves a lot of these dispensary folks who were hoping to make some some money on the deal. They're kind of like now on the sidelines, aren't they, Don?
They really are. And these dispensary folks for months and months have been in the process of leasing space, getting licensing, forming limited liability companies, incurring legal fees, getting set up to essentially dispense medical marijuana according to the new law. Tom Horn and Governor Jan Brewer have said, however, that because of their concerns, the Department of Health Services is putting on hold issuance of dispensary licenses. So, again, you have the conflict of people who have been issued medical marijuana cards, but the fact that no dispensaries are going to be licensed until the court rules upon the application filed by the Attorney General.
And I should point out that Arizona's law, Don Luce, as you know, allows for only 125 dispensaries statewide compared with more than 1,000 in California. That's the peak of that state's program. And they have more than 800 marijuana shops in Colorado. But we're talking about 125 dispensaries, folks who have lined up and were ready to do business. Now, who knows how long this thing could be on hold?
If this lawsuit proceeds as most lawsuits like this proceed, it's going to be at least a year before any clarification is given to this dispute, in my opinion.
Another big story, and one the marijuana issue is certainly big, but so is the High Court, U.S. Supreme Court, Don Luce ruling last week that Arizona can indeed punish employers who are found guilty of knowingly hiring illegal immigrants. So, in effect, the High Court says yes to Arizona's employer sanctions law.
Yes, finally. This law was originally enacted in 2007. We're now in 2011, 4 years later. And interestingly, Bill, if I might digress for a moment, only two firms have been prosecuted for violating the employer sanctions law, which is formerly known as the Arizona Legal Arizona Worker Act. Nobody ever refers to it by that name, but that's the technical name that the act has. The Supreme Court decision, which just came down, was a split decision. It was 5-3. Justice Elena Kagan did not participate in the decision because she was at the Solicitor General's office at the time that the petition was filed, and she took a position on behalf of the federal government in that lawsuit. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the majority decision, and what they said essentially was that under the very narrow facts of this case, which had to do with a federal law called the Immigration Reform and Control Act, under that very narrow set of facts, that the Arizona employer sanctions law was not preempted, was not illegal because Congress had allowed for the states to take some action in this area. And Justice Roberts made it a point to distinguish the action that the Arizona law provides for and the action that the federal law provides for. Under state law, the court can suspend a business license if an employer is found to have knowingly hired an illegal immigrant. Under the federal law, there are civil and criminal penalties on companies for hiring illegal immigrants. And the court felt that there was a sufficient enough distinction between those two statutory schemes to allow the Arizona law to stand.
Do you expect this law to be copied then by other states or implemented other places? Only got about 30 seconds, Mr. Luce.
I do. And in fact, other states have already taken the initiative to put laws similar to ours on their books. And now that they've got a green light from the Supreme Court, I think we're going to see a lot of other states enact very similar legislation. The broader question involving Arizona still is the fate of SB 1070.
Yes.
That is going to go to the Supreme Court as well. Whether this decision is going to impact the SB 1070 decision or not will have to be seen.
Attorney Don Luce, he is the contributor, legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. He's the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both these are award-winning books. They're available local and Amazon, of course. Where else, Mr. Luce?
I'm proud to say that both books are in Borders, and they're also in Barnes & Noble. They can also be found in over 100 libraries statewide.
And I actually have a little more time than I thought because my clock was giving me a wrong indication here. But going back to the Arizona Laws 101, that book, that was your first book, right?
It was.
And what prompted that?
Well,
I thought folks needed a common sense way to figure out Arizona laws.
I did. After 25 years of practice, Bill, I realized that a lot of the questions that I was being asked were being repeated over and over again by people who simply wanted some basic information. And so what I did in writing Arizona Laws 101 is I attempted to take those questions, the ones that kept being asked of me, put them into some sort of logical and easy-to-understand order. I have 101 laws covered. Each law is covered by only two or three pages, and I wrote it for the layperson. You don't have to be a lawyer to read my book.
Oh, good. Okay. Don Luce, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, the Friday Focus, good interview lined up with Dr. Mark Stegeman, head of the TUSD Governing Board. That's our Friday Focus. Then, of course, the Friday Reporters Roundtable, local journalists weighing in on the top stories of the week. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.